Dark chocolate-colored eyes blink up at me, and I'm heartsick, unable to tell if his gaze is childlike wonder or a barren wasteland, devoid of comprehension. Have a good night, Joey. I tuck the thin blanket around the 12-year-old scrawny calf. Confined to this bed, his doctors are optimistic of improvement, but it's hard to give a definitive prognosis with brain injuries. Only time will tell how or if Joey's condition will get better. Joseph Antonelli was admitted to Leia's home, a private facility for those with an acquired brain injury, a few months ago. He suffered permanent brain damage when a car, backing out of its driveway, cut him off while on his skateboard. The boy flipped over the roof of the vehicle, landing on his back and smacking his head against the sidewalk. Joey wasn't wearing a helmet, and his mother was behind the wheel. Mrs. Antonelli didn't see her son until it was too late. Not too long after the accident, Joey's mother overdosed on pills, not able to bear her role in his current condition. Now he needs long-term rehabilitation and lifelong care. He isn't able to walk or speak and requires assistance for many activities like eating or dressing. While he isn't paralyzed, his brain damage limits the potential for significant improvement. He may walk again, or not. Only time will tell. With a gentle squeeze to his ankle, I update his chart and place it back in its slot. Joey's my last patient of the day. Then my shift is over. I push through the staff doors of Leia's home, and the humid outside air hits me like cloying perfume. Suffocating. This is the third consecutive day of soaring temperatures. Preoccupied, I only noticed Caro, the co-owner of the home, and Lydia, one of the nurses, when they slide into step with me on my way to my car. Willow! Caro's breathless, bumping her arm into mine. I called your name like four times. Where's your head? Oh, sorry. My hand brushes at my temple, willing my mind to settle. I was thinking about the house today. Lydia rolls her eyes and shakes her head. Oh my God, you and that damn house. It's always on your mind. My hackles rise, although she likely doesn't mean anything by her snarky comment. While I've known Lydia for years, we met in nursing school, we see things differently. Well, yes, of course. I dropped my entire life savings into it. And it was worth it, too, since my landlord decided to move to Florida and leave me without a place to live. Instead of moving out, I jumped at the chance to buy the home I'd been renting. While it's a fixer-upper, it's also in a great neighborhood, not too far from work, and let's face it, I'm 30 years old and more than ready to settle down. As if Lydia can read my thoughts, she punches holes in my plans, or maybe my logic. You know, most women find a husband first, and then they buy a house to fix up. Together. Unlike you, I didn't major in finding Mr. Right. I got a nursing degree. I'm teasing, and the bubbly nurse doesn't take offense, only snickering at the truth to my words. Lydia has it all wrong. I don't need a boyfriend or fiancé to buy a home. He could come later. At this point, I won't stress about it, even if my biological clock is ticking. I thought Logan was the one, but I was way wrong.